Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Monday. And we're back with Common Sense Uncensored. And as always, I want to let you know you can call and text and comment at 701-213-0863. You can follow us on Rumble, on Facebook. We're all places out there. And if you're interested in GFBS merchandise, go to gfbsmerch.com and we'll get you out there so you're a walking billboard for the truth, justice, and the American way. And we have in our studio today, Ms. Jody Carlson. Ms. Carlson, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, Kit. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I've heard a rumor that you are running for Ward 5.
I am. I decided to throw my hat into the ring on Ward 5 when my former councilperson, Kyle Kwame, decided not to run. And then I had heard that there was another gentleman who had thrown his hat in to run, and I thought, this sounds maybe like more of the same, and maybe we needed to shake it up a little bit. So,
well, I understand totally what you're doing. And why do you think you're running? Because, I mean, I know you went to the mat for a lot of us, even though it wasn't those of us who weren't living in the city who weren't supposed to be allowed to comment when it came to Fufang. And I just want to know, why are you throwing yourself out there again?
That's a fabulous question, really. I'm a retired nurse, and I did a lot of investigating with the Fufang group and what was happening with that. And I have no agenda to run. There's nothing that I have to win or to lose. I just have seen over the last couple of years, the people of this community have had no input, essentially, in anything that's happening within the city. You know, there's been elections that have been held to increase taxes that are held, you know, they're special elections that
fun,
are
fun times, because and people are like, there's an election?
Yeah, because it's not normal election days. They hold special elections, and you know, 2,000 people come out and vote, and then they claim that 80% of the city, you know, wants the new aquatic center or whatever it may be, the new school. And so I just decided I believe I'm a very ethical person and a very honest person. I do my research. I'm willing to be corrected if I don't have a fact straight. I don't have an issue with that. And I believe I am strong enough to be able to ask sometimes what many would consider to be the hard questions. And I don't, I'm not intimidated by that. I do hope that, because I know over the last couple of years, there's obviously been conflict between myself and some members of the city council. I do believe with mutual respect and getting to know each other, I do believe we could work together as a good team. I do see a lot of great things happening within this city. You know, new development, growth. I just really do see a lot of great things coming. And I'm running for Ward 5, which is the southernmost part of the community here that kind of runs from the river out to 62nd and around King's Walk and whatnot. But I just have decided that something needs to change, that the citizens really need to have more input in what's happening. There's so many new buildings that come up that people will say, well, what is that and what is that for? And with a lot of the development that the city has gotten involved in, a lot of the real estate, I'm not even clear what I need to learn more. And I think everyone has a skill set on the city council. Everyone brings a skill set. And I do believe that I have a skill set that would benefit that particular team. And I think if elected, I think that we could work very well together.
One thing I see when I'm looking at all kinds of county commissions, city commissions, whether it's Grand Forks, Fargo, whatever, even Hillsborough where I live, is there tends to be something called groupthink. And what happens is there is not enough diversity of thought. There is not enough willingness to pose hard questions. And a lot of this stuff, because there's a few strong personalities, gets shifted through. And many people are afraid to go speak in front of the city council or the county commission because they're afraid that they're going to be yelled at. And sometimes they have been. And it should not be adversarial, whether it's a person speaking or someone on the commission or the council, to say I disagree.
Right, right. And I truly don't think that should happen. I mean, these people are elected by the citizens to be their representatives. That does not, however, give them a blank check to make all decisions on behalf of the citizens and what they feel is in their best interest. I believe they need to continue to get citizen input on things that are happening. And the citizens should always have a part in that.
There's been such a push, I know, down in Fargo to limit commentary periods and things. And I know when, especially when you were involved with Fufeng, that there was a real limit to shut down people's voices and things. What do you feel would be maybe a happy medium between some people that seem to appear all the time and probably wear out their welcomes maybe, but still have a right to be heard versus where some people go, if you're not on the agenda? I mean, we don't seem to be able to find a happy medium. If you get elected to the city council, what might be your suggestion for having that occur?
Well, the first thing that I have to say is the information that was written up and the attorney that they had come from Gus Pearson Christensen office to talk with the citizens regarding what's acceptable and what's not and what's protected under First Amendment. I don't believe all that information was correct, besides the fact that it was written up as a guideline slash policy. Mm-hmm. Is the way that that document was written up. Well, if it's a guideline, it's not a policy. If it's a policy, it's not a guideline. So you can't group them into one.
One would have to be voted on, wouldn't it?
Well, a policy change, it would have to be agreed upon amongst the city council, which they did agree upon that, but that was the guideline policy that they agreed upon. So I, as many may know, I'm a registered nurse. I have my bachelor's and my master's. I have done research. I've studied research. I understand it. I understand policies and procedures. The last 20 years of my career has been essentially interpreting and putting in place government policies and procedures. And I understand the details of those and what exactly those mean and the differences between mm-hmm. guidelines, policies, and procedures. And so the city's got that all mixed up. I do believe citizens must have a voice. One of the things that I have been a huge proponent of, and to my knowledge, in my 27 years that I have lived in my home in Ward 5, there has been one ward meeting. And I happened to be in Duluth that day, so I wasn't even able to make it that day. But for one, I think that there needs to be ward meetings held. There needs to be a method of communication between the citizens to be able to keep them abreast of what's happening. And the ward meetings, where then the ward representative can bring all that information back to the city council, which would clear up a lot of time. I have nothing against that there's a limit on the amount of time that people can speak. I think if it's something more critical that is very imperative or very important for the city, I think that there needs to be some give and take there.
As flexibility.
Right, with that. As far as out-of-towners, I just think that that was kind of a silly thing thrown in to exclude a couple people that were very verbal during the Fufeng fiasco. I don't think that that's a normal occurrence to have, you know, those outside of the city show up at meetings. But
well, I thought it was interesting because they were trying to say that the plant didn't affect anybody outside the city, and there were a lot of us outside the city that went, wait a minute now, because it kind of does. If you've got a grain elevator outside the city it was a regional thing within the city. Yeah. And for them to do this, you don't have a voice thing, it made me go, well, maybe you don't need my money shopping either.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you, I think the opposite. The only people that, I won't say the only people, but without the farmers who live outside the city, we wouldn't have needed the plant. So it certainly impacted the entire region around the Grand Forks area.
So I'm going to really quick do a segue here. What do you want to change? What if I gave you one and two, what would be... Because I'm not saying that you think the city's broken, but what are one or two things that you think maybe could at least be looked at to change?
I think we need to get a better process in place, as I just talked about, potentially the ward meetings, to be able to have citizen input. I know that doing the Fufang petitioning, when we were doing that, there were a lot of doors that we knocked on that people said, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do or what I sign, they're going to do what they want anyway. And I want people of the community to feel empowered. I want them to feel like what they want and what they have to say is important and needs to be heard. That's where I kind of come in. So that's my number one thing, is getting people more involved.
I think that's a reason for some of the apathy.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is.
Because there's a reason why you get 2,000 people in a town this size nobody else comes to vote. Besides maybe not knowing about it, but the fact of it don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
What would you do second?
That's a tough one because I have a whole list of all things.
Can I aim you where I have a little burn?
Sure.
And this goes across North Dakota, and I know that you're looking at property taxes, but the TIF system that operates in the city seems to me, and it's not just Grand Forks. I've seen it operating in Fargo. I've seen it operating in Hillsboro and other places. There just seems to be an inequity there that a lot of people with a lot of money seem to be getting a lot of breaks, and mm-hmm. that means we're paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And that was a song that I sang for a long time at the city council as far as with the Fufang projects and the TIFs and the pilots. And the city, although in many documents they refer to their policy on pilots, they don't have a policy. They don't have a policy on pilots, and they don't have a policy on TIFs. And when I confronted that, they said they follow the state law on TIFs and on pilots. Well, I have since, of course, found out that no, they don't follow the state law. And at the time I was looking at it, and I believe that this also included the Fufang numbers on what the city was going to lose out on because of tax incentives for businesses that still had intact TIFs or pilots available was over $2 billion.
Good grief.
$2 billion that we had out there that these big businesses were not paying taxes. And, of course, us as citizens continued to see our taxes rising
valuations.
And our valuations. We have seen the cost of things have just gone absolutely through the roof. And one of the things, especially now, and I know I've talked with a couple of developers about this, with the Memorial Village 1 and 2 and the apartments that are going up over there, that those are under a pilot incentive. Well, why? And they're not UND property. From what I understand, they are independently owned. And they are giving a pilot incentive to this
private organization.
In order to build these apartments. And one of the things actually that it indicates in the state law is you are to submit information to the state that indicates what your competition may be, because they don't want to use these TIFs and these pilots in order to compete with other businesses, either small or big. And that's exactly
what's
doing.
Happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a real quick break here for executive properties, and we're going to get right back to that. Paul, take it away, please.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
And we've been blessed with an early season, so make sure you contact the boys and talk to them about getting your construction needs taken care of. Okay, it just seems to me that these people that are building these apartments and everything else like this, that are getting all of these pilot projects and TIFs and stuff, they're taking the established businesses that are the small guys in Grand Forks, whether it's they're building a new store or whatever, and they're giving the people that have been citizens that have helped Grand Forks grow for a long time, and they're telling you to pound sand.
Yeah. And look at, I mean, it almost seems like every week we learn about a new small business that is leaving the community. And, you know, and that's another concern of mine, is trying to figure out and dig into what real estate is the city involved in. I mean, are we a developer? Are we a real estate agent? You know, all the money that was put into the old Herald building, which is now the Hive, which still is a thorn in my side. I finally did see the $30,000 table that they purchased over there.
Good grief.
Which is not a decision I would make, because for me and my experience, and as I had mentioned before, I've worked with multi-million dollar budgets and supervision of people and whatnot. I spend that money like it's my own.
Yep.
You know, I'm frugal with it, but when I know it's a true need, we need this. We must have this. You've got to open up your pocketbook and you've got to have things. But if it's something that we would like to have, you need to put greater thought into that, because you're working with the money that belongs to the taxpayers of the community.
Well, Margaret Thatcher was famously known for saying that sooner or later you run out of other people's money.
Yeah.
And I think we may be reaching that point, because as I watch the valuations go up on homes, as I watch the non-existent, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, inflation that continues to go up through the grocery store, $70, you could have three or four things in a plastic bag. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah. I don't even like to go to the grocery store anymore. I'll tell my husband to pick up a few things, and then when I make a trip, I'll get all the meats and stuff that I can put in the freezer.
Well,
I don't even like to go there. It's so depressing.
And we're looking at all of these AI smart things that are starting to come into the cities. Minot is kind of a pilot project, but I'm watching it infiltrate into my town. They're putting smart meters in Hillsboro, for Lord's sake. So that'll let you know where we're at for the water and things. And while I'm not saying these things aren't necessary, I happen to know they're expensive. I went out and took a look, and I saw that Grand Forks, for their smart water metering, has set aside $1 million in 24, and they have a plan out for 24 through 27, and they're going to request an additional $1 million to get the whole town smart metered each year. So 24, 25, 26, 27, that's 4 years.
Yeah.
$1 million a year just for the freaking water meters.
Yeah. Yeah, and people need to know. And for those that don't follow, there is a Facebook group called We the People of ND, and we do try to put articles, factual articles, out there about these meters and about these smart meters, about the company that they're working with.
Winwater.
I'm not, well, and actually the actual meters come from a company called Lowrawan,
yep.
Lowrawan, which is a Chinese company.
Exactly.
And the thing is, I'm not against business. I'm not against growth. And I think that seems to be the way that they are taking me, that I'm anti-city and I'm anti-business and growth. And that is the farthest from the truth. And you know that, and I know that, yeah. That's the farthest from the truth.
But see, that's a comfort zone for them.
Yes.
Because, see,
yes.
If they can put you in a box, and it's an unfavorable-looking box, mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. But I see it very differently. I see it as maybe these projects are all well and wonderful, but they need to be properly vetted in order to protect the citizens of this community. And secondly, for those citizens who still want to stand back and say, not in my house, there's the option to opt out of those. And I don't think there's probably not many in this city that know that they have that option as far as opting out of the smart meters.
Well, you're lucky because Hillsborough, if you don't get your smart meter put in, they're charging you $50 a month as a fine for not putting your smart meter in. And the thing with these smart meters is they're not infallible, number one. Number two, they're putting an actual human being out of a job. So this is something, and people are saying, oh, well, that's a person that we won't have to pay. I'll have to just make one comment. The city doesn't tend to let people go any more than a school district does. What they do is they put them in other places. So the actual cost savings from maybe reducing from a personnel, and I don't want to reduce as a personnel because I would rather a person have that job than a machine. I can work with a person.
Yeah.
I can't work with a machine. And just a personal thing here. With these smart meters, they're going to be charging you as you use. So if you are used to getting your $79 water bill or whatever every month, that's going to go away because it's going to be based on instantaneous water usage. And just an aside story.
Please.
I mean, my husband and I, they said, you must put the smart meter into one of our houses. And so I said, yeah, but honey, you got to do this. There's, you know, no option. Again, let's just get her done. And so from the time we got the letter, my husband put it in. And it wasn't even a month. Our next water bill was over $400 for the one house. Just bang. It went from $79 and $81 or whatever to over $400. And I mean, you can imagine after I picked myself up off the floor when I opened the bill. And I went, honey, you got do something. Okay. And so I said, okay, so I said, I'm going to pay it so they don't add interest and everything else onto this. I said, but would you go in and talk to them? And he went in and he said he was treated rudely. He said, and they basically told him to pound sand, that was what his water bill was, pay it. Now, in defense, I will say that for my husband, who, if he was on fire, wouldn't ask for a glass of water to put himself out, but he was a little peeved. I will say that the next water bill we got, we had a large credit, but it wasn't a $400 credit.
Yeah.
Okay. And so somewhere along the line, they decided, out of whatever cosmic experience they had, what the water was that came from that. You guys had better start getting used to this because I, in my heart of hearts, I believe this is what's coming.
Yeah. And the thing with the water, too, is that we do not have the ability for the amount of water that we use as for the city as far as drinking water that is truly safe. So we're paying a lot of money for water and water treatment centers, and we are not getting what we're paying for. And the city is again, as far as the contaminants in the water. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're going to fall over if you drink the water. That's not what I'm saying. But just having, I think that the citizens deserve to have the knowledge of that and to be able to make the decisions on, am I going to buy a reverse osmosis water filter that will filter out these, you know, PFAS and whatever else it is that's in the water?
I do believe that along with their running to control the energy, that the water's their next step. Because I believe that there's going to be something similar to California where you are metered to the nth degree as to how much water usage is, and when you use up your water, it's meter usage for that day. You're done. You don't have a choice. There's no paying extra. There's no. That's it. You're done. And they were talking about even in California charging people in their hotel rooms. Stop putting little meters in hotel rooms, and you every time you shower or whatever, you were. This is going to be insane. Because we're used to figuring that that's part of our property tax and our water bill, and that's part of what a city is supposed to do for you. That's why you're paying the bills you pay. And it's going to, I believe, be completely reversed. And they're going to tell you what you can do for the privilege of having the water, and because Xcel and a lot of other people are putting in smart meters now, which are going to decide when you are able to use your electricity. I think that the entire thing that we're growing up being used to is going to reverse. And it's quite frankly, watching it go down is scaring me to death. And nobody seems to be cognizant of the fact, not just at the citizen level, but the city seems to be just lockstep fine with this.
That's very concerning. And I know... It's probably not so much anymore, but if people would listen to younger ladies like us that are sitting visiting about some of this, they would say, oh my goodness, it's a couple of conspiracy theorists.
Tin hats.
But you know what, folks? This is reality. I mean, this is really happening within our country. And again, that Facebook page that I shared, We the People of ND, I've put a couple recent videos on there that talk about the plan for. Initially, they wanted it to happen by 2030. I think they stretched it out to 2050.
They didn't expect Trump,
but ascent. And one of the things that they talk about is people will be taxed out of their homes.
Yes.
So if you get, as I know. I believe you and I had talked about this before, a lot of mailers that come in, people wanting to buy your home and buy, you know, and we hear the words BlackRock and Vanguard. And,
correct.
And a lot of those people are involved in that. And it's true. And one of the things, and I'll put a plug in for this because I know a lot about it. I probably don't know everything there is to know. But with the property tax measure that we are petitioning on in order to get this onto the ballot in November to abolish property taxes in North Dakota, for one, they can't tax you out of your property if you don't owe any taxes on your property.
Correct.
Secondly, what a huge incentive that would be for our community. The government, the state, say that property tax is the major amount that is discretionary income to the state. So if you look at, you know, pet projects, whatever,
yep.
that's where a lot of that comes from. So people should be standing in line to sign that property tax petition because you're soon not going to even have a house to pay property tax on, to tell you the truth, because you won't be able to afford it.
Well, I've told people, why do you think there's been so many TV shows with tiny homes,
yeah,
being the rage. Oh, you can get by living in 385 square feet, and if you don't believe me, there is a 385 square foot home. It's one bedroom, one bath. It's about the size of a standard hotel room in California, and it is currently up for sale for $1.7 million.
Wow.
So, folks, we aren't just sitting around here sipping funny coffee.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, telling each other little tinfoil hat jokes. This is real stuff. I've got to take a quick break for Oh for Heaven's Cakes. And I want everybody to know there's nothing better than treating yourself to good homemade baked goods. And that's where Oh for Heaven's Cakes comes in. You'll find the best cupcakes and cakes for any special occasion or just a treat. Walk in to find out more, but I'm warning you, you won't want to leave, and you won't leave empty-handed. Oh for Heaven's Cakes is located in the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesdays through Friday from 10 to 4, and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to noon. Give them a call, 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253. Or email them at ohforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins at Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. And graduation is coming. So get those orders in so you too can have a marvelous cake for your graduate. Okay, you know, I find it interesting with the property tax thing because you and I have gone out and talked to folks about it, and the first thing they mention is we won't have any money to pay for anything like the roads. The roads are all going to go to hell, and I'm like, and the shape they're in now. We're not going to have money for snow removal. I mean, there'll be no money for the children, for the schools, and that's not the case.
No, it's absolutely not the case. And actually, I think the people that worry a little bit more about those are those who live in rural communities that feel like they have no recourse if they go over their amount that's allotted to them by the state. So according to the taxes from next year that will be coming up is what each community will continue to receive. And I'm not sure what they have as Kit, maybe you can answer this as far as a time that they review that, if as far as home value changes and how that will adjust with that. But right now we know that there was what, $2.8 billion,
yep,
that was kind of
just hanging out
fun money.
In fact, Bergen, when he was running for president, was so pleased to tell everybody that he had to open up another account because they had so much money laying around. And I had to open up a special account for that. And I'm sitting there going, and let's see. My property tax went up over 79%, and I just got my love letter in the mail. It's gone up again. That's on top of 79% last year, they've raised me again.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I know. When I open those letters, it's like, and my neighbors talk to me, and when I've been out doing some petitioning and gathering signatures in order to run for Ward 5, I hear about this. I sit on the porch and visit with people to find out, you know, what is it that you would like to see? What is it you would like to change? And again, back to a little bit of apathy, that there's a lot of people that they'd like to be involved, but they just, is it worth their time and effort? And right now, as far as me running for Ward 5, I believe it's worth my time and effort to do that. I believe I can make a difference. I have no agenda. I know one of the things that Mr. Friedolfs, who's also running in Ward 5, indicates is that, you know, he's a manager at Northrop Grumman, and he's a director of something at Chamber of Commerce and the Economic Development Association. For me, those are red flags. For me, as everyday Joe citizen, we don't need any further intermingling of husbands and wives and sisters and brothers and friends that are on different committees that are handing money to each other back and forth without any knowledge that the citizens even know where their taxpayer money is going.
Well, Northrop Grumman, nothing against the gentleman who's running against you, but Northrop Grumman is the military-industrial complex. You need security clearances and everything else to work there. How much more embedded in the swamp do you need to be? And do we really need to invite that here into the back? I mean, I'm asking the question because when I look at that, I don't look at that as a, ooh, that's impressive. I look at that as, oh, damn, that's scary. Yeah. It's just my gut reaction, but I've had it up to here with the people that are telling me that they've worked so closely with the government. And I'm going, that's not what I want.
Yeah. And one of the things, I want this to be a good campaign. Mm-hmm. I really want people to choose the person that they believe is right for them and who will represent them and their voices at the city council. One of the things that concerns me is in Mr. Friedolfs, one of the posts that he made, and someone had asked him how he felt about Fufang. And he said, don't even get me started on Fufang. I couldn't have been more anti-Fufang or he was more anti-Fufong than anybody else. And
really?
I was thinking,
really?
Where were you?
Yep.
Where were you? And now it's out there, and people are singing the song, and the Herald as well, the article that was written up in the Herald, which I was extremely disappointed in, talked about we could have a value-added eggplant in this city if it wasn't for Jody Carlson, who was an opponent of it and ended up shutting it down. Well, you would think Friedolfs would be singing my praises for shutting it down, but now that's you being used against me. And you know what? I would do it again.
I would back you again.
I would do it
again. I would back you again because it was wrong. And this climate change idiocy where we're willing to let people die to save the planet, which might happen in 50 billion years, but until then, we're getting along just fine, thank you. This disdain with the CO2 pipeline for personal property rights, and they're pushing eminent domain, this feeling that you actually have no voice, no rights, and own nothing is already permeating down to the smaller cities. So if we don't get a handle on this, if some form of sanity doesn't push some of this groupthink out of the way, apathy may not be the problem. Inability to do something may soon hit.
Yeah. And the thing I just watched, I don't know if it was a TED Talk or it was some kind of podcast that I watched yesterday about the land, the property in all of our countries worldwide, that property is power.
Yes.
And he who has the most property wins the game, I guess is how it goes.
Monopoly.
And so little by little, through eminent domain for a private company that they want to take over land, and little by little, and when they talk about being taxed out of our homes and whatnot and buying our houses, and yes, we will all live in Chinese high-rise. You know, it's interesting because one of the things that they said is the citizens are going to live in, I forget the word they said, it was like stackable tenements where they'll be shopping on the main floor and apartment over apartment over apartment. Well, I'm thinking, isn't that what we have downtown now?
It's also what they have in China.
It exactly
is. It's the blueprint is coming from China. You work, you live, you shop, all in the same building. And I find it interesting because they were concerned. This is true. I actually saw a video of it. It was an American girl living in China, and she was talking to a computer, and she had to use the public restroom. And the Chinese thought that people were wasting toilet paper. So what she had to do was she had to punch in a code with her phone, her smartphone, because that's how they track everybody. And it rolled out a little strip of toilet paper, which she got to take. And that was supposed to go into the bathroom with her. And when she tried to request more, it said her time wasn't enough yet for her to request more. So she said, I would literally have to sit here if I wanted more. Because maybe I had something else going on. She said, I would have to sit and wait until I timed out. And she said, that is not a short time, like 2 or 3 minutes. She says, that is quite a long time for her to get the length of toilet paper came out about like that.
Yeah.
And that was what she says, that's the way everything is over here. And when I put on my tinfoil hat, John Lee, and I look at this stuff coming down the pike, I go, damn. It's incremental. It's the frog in the water.
Yeah.
It's put the frog in the cold water and slowly turn up the heat, and they allow they die by cooking to death.
Yeah. And actually, for those that don't know, I actually did a trip to Russia, went to St. Petersburg as well as Moscow, and we had to develop a manual on pediatric assessment that we went there and we taught nurses from the hospitals there. Like their hospitals are like 50 years behind ours, but we did some teaching there. But in Russia, if you stopped in a public restroom, you would have to give them so much money for two squares of toilet paper. And if you wanted, you had to pay for each two squares, you had to pay more. So, I mean, that's not
it's just real.
Pulled out of the air. No. That really happens.
No, people look at me and they go, you're kidding. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And we've traveled Europe as well, Poland and other places. And let me tell you, there's a lot of places you may want to go to the bathroom. Poland isn't one of them. And people look at me and I go, just trust me on this. But see, that's the problem, is that we are the greatest country on the planet. Why the hell are we so concerned about going backwards? But we're calling it advancement. These smart meters, these huge apartment complexes and everything else is not going forward.
Yeah.
It is going backwards.
Yeah. We need to disengage ourselves from the World Economic Forum and as well as the World Health Organization.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And we need to work as a community and not be in line with that. We need to say no to these things. We need to look at what are the things that we need for our community. We want growth. We want development. We want families to come. We want kids. We want fun things to do. But we don't want to be smart cities where there is essentially absolute government control. And if we continue along the lines where we're going right now, that's where it will end up, unfortunately.
If you've ever dealt with bureaucracy, trying to get something done when someone knows they're going to get paid no matter what, decision is made, no matter how they treat you, and no matter what the outcome is for you, you realize really quickly you're not going to get any satisfaction, and no one cares. And that is the last thing I want to see in this city or any other city. And when I see the disdain with which some people that are working for us in a capacity in the city, because the attitude is, you can't touch me. And I saw it in education.
Yeah, it's, you know, and the thing of it is, when you think about some of the major things, you know, like Fufang, decisions were made 2 years before the citizens even knew. The developments that have gone on downtown were made. The issues with Epitome Energy were made. The bids with the aquatics, I mean, all these decisions are already made before they even come out to the public. And that's where I think we are really missing out. Because when you've got people that are making decisions because it's in your best interest, you just can't have that. You have to get input from the people because their interests may be very different from what you believe.
I'm 68 years old. I don't need a parent.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't need somebody telling me I shouldn't have something because it's not good for me. Or in some cases, I need something because it's good for me. And I'm like, no, I don't. No. And I'm getting very concerned that there isn't enough seen voices that are at the city council, the county, at that level, that are going, hold up a minute, just back down. Our opportunity isn't going to go away right yet. Let's dig a little more.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you from my perspective, I believe that is exactly where I need to be right now, is on the city council and always being the representative for the people. And not only that, in always making sure that any policies or any rules that are put in place by the city will always consider the Bill of Rights when it comes to the citizens, that there can be no law made that is going to violate the Constitution, whether it be the state or the U.S. Constitution. And there's nobody that looks at that right now. And
nobody cares.
I would love to be the proponent for always making sure that our our rules and our laws fit in and protect the people in that way.
I've got one more commercial to break to do for Redemption Shield. And go to the Grand Forks GFBestSource.com at the bottom of the homepage and click on the shield to order today. And especially if you're getting those smart meters in your home, they have the EMF that radiates off of them, and you can find grounding pads and some other things. Redemption Shield, take it away, Paul.
That have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to RedemptionShield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%.
Okay, and I actually have a grounding pad that sits next to my computer, and I can feel it when I put my arm on it. It works, and especially with the fact that you're getting these smart meters, I would definitely recommend you taking a look. All right, Margie says, yes, I keep wondering who was the mayor's boss. He's not smart enough to come in here and do all he's done in 4 years. He came with an agenda. And Marie says she cares. You know, that's awesome, and I think that's why you need to be there, because you say you're running for Ward 5, but you're running for Grand Forks, girl.
It is. It is essentially running for the entire city, and it's the Ward 5 that will decide whether or not to elect me. And Ward 5 is the largest voting ward in the city. I have the mayor in my ward, even. I was going to check with him and see if he would put one of my signs in his yard.
you're evil, you know that,
well,
right?
I did catch up with him the other night at the Chris Stapleton concert. Him and his wife were there, and I did greet him, and he wished me well on my campaign for Ward 5. So, you know, that was nice to hear. But, you know, I'm sure they would like to keep the good old boys club, but I believe that the citizens really need a voice, and I think I can be that voice.
I have never known you to be anything other than very open to listening and considerably. You're analytical. You're an RN. You're analytical.
Yeah.
And I've lived with engineers and everything else. I know analytical. And it's necessary, because we have too many people that are either operating on agendas or they're operating on emotions. And when I taught, I always used to tell my kids, okay, God gave you a brain, God gave you a heart. There's an appropriate time to use both. But usually, the brain should lead. The brain's got to lead, because the heart will get you in trouble. Because the heart breaks, it's mushy, it can be easily led and easily duped. The brain. And I think that a lot of times, I think that what I'm running into when I speak to some political people is I'm running also into a large level of arrogance, because they've been in the positions they've had for so long that they automatically think that they know better than we do. Nobody knows what's better for me than me.
Yeah. And as I mentioned earlier, everyone comes in with a different skill set. And, you know, I have the skill set of, when you talk about being analytical, having the attention to details, looking at things very critically, looking at all sides of an issue, the good and the bad and the ugly, and really, you know, and the point is, what I would like to do is to be able to do the research, present that information to the people.
Yep.
And let the people decide what direction do you want to go with this? What do you see for the community? And I believe that can happen.
Should be happening.
I believe it can happen. If we look at that, people can start to realize that they do have a voice and that their voice matters. They start getting involved, even with the ward meetings. I would love to have a way of communication with the people of the community or the ward to keep them up or to take questions on that maybe can be taken back to the city council.
Well, we've seen it happen with the school board. People finally stood up and said, excuse me,
yeah,
something's going on here. And I mean, and I think the property taxes have woke a sleeping giant that I don't think a lot of people thought would move.
Yeah.
And so I think we might be at a critical point where someone like you could actually accomplish this.
Yeah. I actually did inquire the other day, and it was through your referral to Josh Gellion, who, the state auditor, as far as really looking at getting an audit done for the Grand Forks school system, because now they're looking at more money for another school to be built even further south where all the developments are going. And right now you can apply for an audit, but you're not guaranteed an audit right now.
There's a lot of people out there saying something stinks. We don't know what it is. I used to do embezzlements. I didn't embezzle myself.
I used to be an embezzler.
I used to be an embezzler. No. I used to catch them, honey. But it would be funny because I'd walk in and I had accountants. They're the brains. And I worked with police officers and stuff. And I'd walk in and I'd say, can't tell you how, can't tell you where right now, but we need to look. And I'd give them a general area, and I'd go to my accountants, sick them. Yeah. And they'd go in, and the stuff they'd uncover, some of it was error, some of it wasn't. But the thing is that's our money.
Yeah, yeah. And even right now, I know that the city council doesn't have much to do as far as with the correction center, but I don't know if you read the recent article, yep, that they're already saying they're not going to be big enough. They need to expand more, and now they're wanting to institute the increase in the city tax again, and that was not pushed through last time when they did get their home rule charter, but now they're not big enough. But yet we take in all these, you know, prisoners from other counties.
And dangerous people.
And there again, I think that comes to, is that a state failure? That we don't have enough beds at the state level in the penitentiaries, that it's putting the burden back on the citizens of the county and the taxpayers in order to house these citizens and build new jails. And you and I both know there's so much more to that.
Exactly. But start peeling back the onion.
Yeah.
And sometimes what happens is you find the rot at the center. But the problem is you'd be eating that onion until you got to the center and go, oh my God, what have I done? But this is what it's like when you're looking at this. And it's a little over here, a little over there. You can't look in all of those different places at once, and that's what they're counting on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the county wanting to give hundreds of thousands to the city for the Fufang development.
Well, and then, not their money.
And then put the taxes for the expansion of the jail on the backs of the citizens. But again, I have to say that there's so much that I don't understand, Kit. There's so much I need to learn.
But think about that. Why is that? It's similar to when I went in the doctor. And God bless doctors and nurses, but every once in a while you run into a doctor, and being an RN, I know you know who I'm talking about, where they come at you with, well, you've got a myocardial infarction of the diddly diddly diddly, and I go, oh my God, am I going to live? Well, you got to hang now. But you see, unless they make themselves seem important, and it's like with law, if they can't baffle you with BS, you'll sit there and go, well, okay, whatever you think. We need people who talk plainly. Margie comes on again, and KO and RO and KV on the council do what Jody will also do. Now they usually question the agendas and get voted down. The citizens need another voice like Jody's to join them. It's just this. They want to keep us confused. They want to keep us thinking we're not knowledgeable enough, because if you can do that, people stop asking questions.
I would love to see Marie Stewart on the council. She has a skill set that, and she has that brain for research and for being analytical. I'm not real familiar with her opponent, but I do know Marie, and I do know her thought process. And I know Mayor Bochansky has supported her, and I support her as well.
Maybe we can get her on the show and we can dig more, because I think it would be nice to have a lot of voices, including the ones I don't agree with, because people always go, oh, well, you're going to be... No, I'm going to be me. Yeah. I might ask you some hard questions, but doggone it, somebody needs to.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're so funny, Kit. I brought my notebook here because I was going to have my note. And you know what? I don't think there's been a time I've come here that I've actually used my notebook. We get running and it just flows.
But what are you going to do? So let's say the property tax thing passes. Please, from my lips to God's ears. But let's say the property thing tax. Now, everyone's going to tell you, we don't have any money. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Well, I have to tell you that I have been a little bit of a guru to dig through the monthly financials of the city that are presented monthly at a council meeting. And I look at some of those areas within the budget, and I just shake my head. I'm like, okay, so we're going to send 20 people to this conference in Colorado, okay? So we're going to pay for everybody's flight. We're going to pay for their luggage. We're going to pay for their hotel. We're going to pay for their food. Are we better off that we might be able to work out something with the speaker to come here? I look at supplies where every department within the city has a different supply source. Now, where could we, I mean, you as a business person and myself having managed a business, I know the discounts that come with
loyalty.
With loyalty.
Loyalty and, yes. And also with bulk purchases. Hello.
Yes. And then, and I know that this is, this is with the city, with when you look at our police department. God bless our police department. They have been through a lot of really crazy stuff lately. God bless them. And I am not anti-police in any way. I am anti-police administration. I will say that because I've seen that and I've experienced that. And I know that. And I know for a fact right now that we have 26 police officers who have left the department within the last 2 years. Why is that? And think about the amount of money. They say the previous person that left, it's 1 year's salary of that previous person to retrain a new officer. So what's happening within the police department that our turnover is so outrageous? And what can we do to fix it?
And the thing is that this is happening in a lot of departments. And it's a sign of a real problem at the top, because when you've got people ejecting from jobs like that who are committed to be in a job, you got to be committed to be a police officer.
Yeah.
I mean, especially today. And when you're going, oh, hell no, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And ignoring it isn't going to help. Just saying, well, there's obviously, my favorite phrase, well, there's obviously personality differences. Well, maybe we should look at it, huh?
Yeah. And it should be, because it was police officers who had left the department themselves that filed a whistleblower report with KVLR, and that's where I first found out about it. And at that point, I think it was 17 officers who had left, and now at this time it's 26 officers who have left.
Nothing to see here. Nothing. We got everything's great. Couldn't be better. State of the city. Arr!
So it's all those kind of things that use up taxpayer money, and I think that we need to not be, as you say, yes, man. That we just yes, we agree, because we don't want to ask the hard questions and we don't want to cause any conflict.
No ripples.
And so we don't, and we just vote yes, and everything moves along just fine. And
right up until the Titanic hits the iceberg.
Yeah, I'm not a yes person. And I know there are times during the Fufang debacle that, you know, my passion showed, you know, it was a frustrating period.
Oh, Lord.
It was very frustrating.
Sweetheart, you were a saint. They'd have been scraping me off the ceiling.
You know, but I do believe that when you have different skill sets, different people, and if you have respect for each other, you can properly manage a city and have the people at the top of that list, which is what our city organizational chart says we have.
It's the way it's supposed to work. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, as always, I know I didn't let you get to your notes, but this hour has flown by and we're out of time. But what would be the last thing you'd like to say to send us out the door here?
You can contact me at Jodi, J-O-D-I, Ward 5, at yahoo.com. I also have a Facebook page, Jodi Carlson for Ward 5. We've got the Facebook group that is We the People of ND. Share the information. Ask any question. There's no question that I won't answer. And if I don't have the answer, I'll find it. So,
and if there's anybody out there who would like some equal time, whether it's Marie Stewart, come on in, Marie. We'd love to talk to you. Or anybody, believe me, I am not an ogre. I have an opinion, and I would like to hear yours. And if that doesn't jive, well, let's have a wonderful, interesting discussion, which is what I believe you could bring to the city council, my dear. And so once again, thank you, everybody. It's been another marvelous Monday with Common Sense Uncensored. Everybody, stay safe, and as always, God bless.